Hola y bienvenidos a Sex and Spanglish, where we empower mujeres to get in touch with their bodies, own their pleasure, and where we discuss all the cochinadas our abuelas didn't tell us about. I'm Ana López, sexpert, future doctora, certified sex and life coach, proud Latina, and your go-to guide for all things sex. I'm here to help you kick vergüenza to the curb and teach you to have guilt-free sexual pleasure. Basically, I'm here to help you have mind-blowing sex without all the guilt and shame you learned growing up. Let's be real. La comunidad Latina doesn't talk about sex, pero qué suerte tienes because this Latina does. It is my vision to have Latinas worldwide discussing sex with one another just like they do with chisme. Así que, prepárate. I'm about to change the way you view sex para siempre. Welcome back to another episode of the Sex and Spanglish podcast. Today we are going to talk about my late grandmother, Lila Mae Peters. If you've heard me talk about her, you've probably heard me call her Gram San, which is a nickname that I gave her as a child, which is a play on my mother's married name. But anyways, Gram San, Lila, that is who we will be talking about today. And what she taught me and how I've taken this into my work as a sex coach. So while you may not be a sex coach, dear listener, I definitely think that you can get something out of the lessons that she taught me, because when she taught me this lesson or these lessons, I'm pretty sure she wasn't, you know, privy to the fact that I was going to be a sex coach, as especially that some of these lessons came when I was like five. So, you know, there's still good lessons either way. So I am recording this episode on November 5th, and it is scheduled to release on the 20th of November, which is 2 days after what would have been her 100th birthday. So November 18th, 2022, she would have been 100, which is an age that she always talked about. And for some reason in her, like when she turned 90, she was under the impression that every year she was 100. She did have dementia, so that makes sense. But yeah, every year she would be like, okay, how many more years until I'm 100? And then, yeah, so it's just super fun to think about that she would have been 100. So I am going to try my best to not be emotional recording this. So give me a second and I will come back and we will dive into the lessons that she taught us. Okay. I realize I said taught us. I meant taught me, but hey, she did accept everyone as her family. So you can be my adopted cousins or whatever, so she can be your grandma as well. Anyways, I did stop not because, I mean, yes, I was getting emotional when I was telling you about her, but I didn't stop because I was getting emotional and because maybe I was like embarrassed or something like that. I like, emotions are okay, is what I want to say. I stopped because I wanted to make sure that you fucking understand what I'm saying when I'm talking. So I just want to throw that out there, that emotions are okay. And like, I want to make sure that y'all can understand me. So anyways, so here we go. The first lesson that Gram San taught me was to dream big. As a child, she would always ask me like what I want to be when I grow up and all of these things. And somehow it would always come back to her saying that I was going to be president one day. And what she meant by that was that I was going to really go far in life, that a lot of people were going to listen to what I was going to say, like listen intently when I was talking. You know, they were going to know who I was, is what I took from that, right? And in her mind, president was like top notch, you know, like that's as far as you can go kind of thing, right? And so for her to say that was huge, and it had a huge impact on my life. And I've always taken that message with me that like, I can fucking do anything, literally. Like if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. I do not believe that there is one thing in this world that I cannot do. I truly believe that to my being. Now, when I go to try to do said thing, I might be like, oh, I don't know. But I truly believe in the depths of my soul that I can believe and do anything. And it is because of this message that she, you know, gave to me as a child over and over and over again, is to dream big. Like, why not? So, second lesson. I love jumping rope, just to throw that out there. As a child, I loved jumping rope. Jumping rope is fucking amazing. But anyways, I remember one day I was out in the front yard that we had, and so there was a window looking out to the front yard, and she would watch me play, and I was, you know, always outside in the front yard. So I was like jumping rope. We had like a huge like cement path that I could easily jump rope on. So I was like jumping rope, and I couldn't actually like jump at the time. Like I was like jumping, but I was missing, you know, I wasn't actually jumping rope. I kept just falling essentially, or tripping. And I kept going, I think I can, I think I can. And I was saying it out loud over and over and over again. And she came outside, and in like a loving and also scolding manner, she was like, you don't tell yourself that you think you can. You tell yourself that you know you can. And that memory has been etched into my brain ever since. And yeah, I need a minute. And we're back. Okay, so that memory has been etched into my brain ever since. And in the moment, I was just like, oh, she's telling me like, this isn't how you do it. Like my total like Capricorn / child mind was like, oh, you're supposed to say, you know you can. So I was like, all right. So I was just like, I know I can. I know I can. And I started jumping. And eventually I got so good at jumping rope. Like I'm probably still really good. I don't do it very often, but I fucking love jumping rope. Let me tell you, it's one of my favorite things. When I started, I'm kind of going to an adjacent story for a second about jumping rope. But anyways, so as a child, I never learned how to double dutch, but it is still like on my bucket list to double dutch. The only problem with that is like I need other people, you know? But anyways, so in elementary school, I would often jump rope on my own, right? Like the singular jump rope. And then I would also, we had the big like long jump ropes at school, and I would always play with those with friends. So like the one person on either end holding it, and like we would jump in and jump out, and like so fun. Similar to like double dutch, but it was with one rope. So fun. And then we used to do something which I highly doubt this is actually the name, but this is what it was called back then. So if someone knows like the actual name, that's like not, I don't know, it sounds horrible. But anyways, at my school, at least, shout out to my Sequoia peeps, they called it Chinese jump rope. And essentially what it was like a thin rope that was like connected. So it was like a circle almost. And people would stand on either end. So one person would stand on the left, one person would stand on the right, and they would like pull it. And then we would like jump on it. And then I don't know. It was like this whole thing. It's really hard to explain. But anyways, it was super fun. Loved it. And then as an adult, I got into CrossFit, and I still do CrossFit actually. But anyways, I had to learn something called double unders, which is essentially one jump and the rope goes under twice. So if you think of like a singular jump rope, you're like jumping rope, like, okay, you jump and then the rope goes under, you jump and then the rope goes under. But with double unders, you jump and then the rope goes under twice. And that was like my shit. Like I learned it in one afternoon. I like went home and like tried for like a couple hours and finally got it. And now I'm like amazing at them. Anyways, point is, jump rope was my fucking jam. Still is to this day. But let's get back to Graham San and her story. So anyway, the story of her telling me that no, you are supposed to say you know you can was so profound. Again, as a child, I was just like, oh, this is something that you're supposed to do, right? Like, you're supposed to tell yourself that you know you can do this. Why would you even think to say, I think I can, right? Because think invites in the possibility that it's not possible. But it is possible. Tell yourself that you know you can, right? Dream big. You know you can. So the third lesson that she taught me was that if you don't express what you want, you're probably going to get something you don't want. And so she never explicitly said this to me, but I remember one conversation that I had with her as an adult, actually, vividly. She was sitting in her little beige recliner and watching TV, and I came up to her and was talking to her, and I don't remember how the conversation started, but I asked her if she wanted kids. So my grandmother had 5 kids, and 2 have since passed on, but anyway, so she had 5 kids, and I said, did you want kids when, you know, you were younger, you had just gotten married, whatever, and she was like, I did, but I definitely didn't want 5. And my mind immediately went to like, well, they didn't have access to birth control back then, right? Like my grandma was like from around the time of the Great Depression and like money was tight. They fucking had 5 kids. You know what I mean? Like money was tight. But anyways, I was like, birth control wasn't accessible back then. They lived in the fucking middle of nowhere, like all of these things. And the more that I thought about it, she probably didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, you know what? Like, I'm done at child 2 or 3 or whatever the number was, right? Like, I'm pretty sure there wasn't a conversation that was had. Now, this is just me imagining, right? And I didn't know my grandfather. He passed away really young at the age of 55. And my mom had kids really late in life. My mom had me at almost 40. So I don't know. Like what he was like. I only know what I was told. And from what I was told is he was very strict and stubborn. And so it makes sense that they probably didn't have a conversation about this. And just given the time, you know, that they were having kids and things like that, like that just wasn't something that commonly occurred. But what I took from that, again, it wasn't what she said. It is what you take from it, right? How does this apply to me? I talked about this in one of my other podcasts recently. How does this apply to me? If what I took from that was that, like, if I don't express explicitly, hey, I don't want 5 kids, maybe I want like 2 or 3 or whatever it is, right? Not just about kids, about anything. You're probably gonna get something that you don't want. So ask for what you want and be explicit about it. Express what you want, right? First, you need to figure out what the fuck you want and then get comfortable in explicitly sharing that with your partner or with whatever else, whoever else. The fourth message fourth lesson that I got from my grandmother was she used to say this all the time about my mom, that my mom was always doing for others and that no one ever took care of her. And at first I was just like, whatever. And she's right though. My mother, my biological mother, so I will say my mom in multiple episodes and I could be talking about like 1 of 4 people. So this is my biological mother that I'm talking about. So she is one of the kindest people you will ever meet, and it's to a fault. She will bend over backwards for others, even though like they don't have her best interest in mind. And she sees almost everyone as a friend or like a family member, and it's to a fault, right? Like there are many friends that I consider family, but they're actually like true friends that also have my best interest at heart, right? Like it's not just like some random Joe Schmo off the street. So anyways, given that context, my mom was always doing things for other people instead of for herself. And it drove my grandmother insane. It also drove me insane because oftentimes I was drug into this, but that's another story for another day. So my grandmother always saw that, like, she was never taking care of herself. You know, she was often getting sick. My mom was often getting sick or being tired, not having money, all of these things. And my grandma just hated it. And so she would always tell me, your mom is always doing for others and she's never taking care of herself. You need to take care of yourself. And so that was a pretty explicit message, right? Take care of yourself. Don't worry about other people. Now, I know many of you listening to this are going to be like, well, that's fucking selfish. And by definition, that actually is selfish. If you're focusing on yourself and not others, yeah, that is selfish by definition. But why is selfish being a bad thing? Taking care of yourself doesn't mean you're neglecting other people, right? Like, we have this, like, misconception in society that, like, if we like something or if we love something or if we're in support of something, that somehow means everything else doesn't matter, right? Like, the people, like, that are against, like, Black Lives Matter and they're like, oh, well, what about white lives? Like, no one fucking said that they didn't matter. No one fucking said that, right? Or, like, if someone is like, so there's this debate that I see online all the time between chocolate and vanilla, like ice cream or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I'm not a fan of chocolate. But somehow when someone says I like vanilla, they're like, well, what about chocolate? Like, it's this, like, stupid, like, either or debate. And it's like, no, things are a spectrum, right? So you can take care of yourself and not neglect other people at the same fucking time. That is possible. Right? It's yes and, not either or. So anyways, take care of yourself is the message. And in taking care of yourself, you're actually caring for others as well. Because if you're completely depleted, how the fuck are you going to take good care of anyone else? Whether it be your partner, whether it be your children, your parents, etc. Like, if you're not taken care of, if you're sick and worn down and tired, you can't take good care of anything because your body's like, I can't do shit. Like, you've left me out in the cold, right? It would be like you trying to be like an Uber driver when you don't fucking take care of your car. You don't take it in for the oil changes. You don't go and get a car wash. You don't detail it, right? You do nothing and you're just like driving people around all day. You don't get gas. Right? You wait until the light comes on every single time. Like, your car is gonna fucking die on you. And it's the same thing when it comes to your body, right? And you're not doing your passengers a service, if we're gonna continue with this analogy of an Uber driver that doesn't take care of their car. You're doing your passengers a disservice because the car probably fucking smells. It probably, you know, cuts off in like the middle of traffic. So it could be dangerous, right? Because you're not taking care of it. So it's super important to take care of yourself. So I know I kind of went on a tangent there from that message, but I know that there are many people that believe that if you take care of yourself, that you're going to somehow neglect everyone else around you. And that simply isn't true. So I learned many lessons from Graham San. But I only shared four with you today. I may share more as time goes on, but I wanted to share these four with you to honor her. I find it super interesting that her birthday is at this time, particularly because, so her birthday is on November 18th. Día de los Muertos is like, you know, from the October 27th to like the 2nd, right? There's different days if you're into that kind of thing, you know. And she actually passed away on October 7th. And so I feel like it all is like happening at once. So October, November is a pretty tough time for me. And then November 11th is actually Veterans Day. And that is usually a day that I would go visit my late grandfather. Not visit him, obviously. He passed away, like I mentioned. But, you know, he's buried there. And so I would always go. And now when I go on Veterans Day, she's also there. And so it's really, I don't want to say it's awkward, but it's new for me. It's different. And so it's a lot. But anyways, I wanted to share that. So in quick summary, the four lessons that I learned, I don't want to say the four because they are not the only four by any means. Four lessons that my Gramsan, my late grandmother, Lila Mae Peters, taught me. To dream big. Allow yourself to dream. No one can take that away from you. Tell yourself that you know you can. If you don't express what you want, you will get something you don't want. So in other words, figure out what you want and explicitly express that to avoid getting something that you don't want. And take care of yourself before you take care of others. So that is all I have for you this week. Have a good week, and I will talk to you later. Hey, mujer, this is your invitation to join La Sinvergüenza Symposium. Redefine what it means to be a sinvergüenza and learn to do the things you enjoy without shitting on yourself. The waitlist is open and ready for your name. The link to join is in the show notes. If you like what you heard, be sure to hit the subscribe button to be notified when new episodes are released. Join me every week to hear me talk about orgasms, foreskin, dildos, and all the other cochinadas your abuela didn't tell you about. But that's not all. We'll also discuss machismo, la tía metiche, and sexual stories from other Latinas just like you. And if you're ready to start spicing up your sex life tonight, then be sure to download my free ebook, Spice It Up Con La Sex Coach. You can find the link in the show notes. And finally, let's keep in touch. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sex and Spanglish. Be sure to follow me and let me know you heard this episode. Deseándote todo el placer, porque el placer es poder.